everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am your host, Kate Romero, and this is Spiritual Hollywood. And I want to give thanks to Don Newsom and VBS Radio for providing this platform for us to make a difference in the world using Hollywood and using everything we can, spiritually speaking, to make a difference in the world and ignite consciousness. Excuse me. Tonight we have as our esteemed guest someone I tripped over. Actually, his wife came and found me. Barbara Hyman is Mr. James Hyman for Emotional Release. And if you want to look at his website as you're hearing me speak, it's www.emotionalrelease.com. That's EmotionalReleaseE.com. And pull up the website and you will be very impressed by what you see. And for all of the actors who may be listening at this moment, pay close attention, because James is going to get you in touch with areas of yourself that you didn't even know were missing or unconscious. So I'd like to read a little bit from Jim's bio before I bring him on. And James Hyman is a Los Angeles-based shamanic healer who has been practicing transformational energy work and body work over the last 25 years. His clients have included some of the biggest names in Hollywood today. He is known for his psychic insight and for his ability to help his clients tune into and express their deepest emotional energy and true spiritual nature. James is also a prolific composer, musician, and rap artist whose music is often used for meditation and yoga classes, and whose rap is stimulating and relevant to the current political environment. His website, again, is www.emotionalrelease.com. And I would like to bring on Jim Hyman. Without further ado, welcome, Jim, to Spiritual Hollywood.
Hi, Kate. How are you? Good.
I'm excellent. Thank you. Wow, this is such a treat to discover you. And I'm just looking at your website right now, and I just want to give everyone a little tiny bit of a teaser of what your private sessions are like. Let's see here. A private session with James, for many people, is one of their life's most transformational experiences. It says, as you let go of old patterns that no longer serve you, there is a sense of groundedness and connection to your higher self and intuition that comes in. You no longer feel disconnected from who you really are. It is as if you have been rewired to express your true nature. After the work, people feel better able to express themselves in every area of their life, creatively, spiritually, emotionally, and in relationships. They move on out of jobs and relationships that are not serving them and holding them back, into new ones, new careers, hobbies, and relationships that better represent their true nature. This is the essence of emotional healing. And what I gather, Jim, is that a person only needs one session like this to get themselves in alignment. Is that correct?
Well, the work is very quick. It's very deep and very quick. And oftentimes what will happen, especially the first session that a person has, is sometimes the most impactful, in the sense that, you know, I go in and I work with a system of asking questions that queries the subconscious mind and really delves into areas where people are still holding on to a charge around a multitude of areas in their life. A lot of times there are things you know about, and sometimes there's stuff that comes up that's very surprising that's being held in the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about cranial release?
Well, the cranial release work is very interesting. This is actually... let me just explain that the work that I do is, it's kind of an integrated system. So it's an evolving system, and as I keep expanding my own kind of curiosity and interest in expansion of consciousness, I keep looking for things for my own my own process of breaking free.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've come in contact recently was the cranial release work,
mm-hmm.
which is a very quick release. And what it does is it allows the cranium can naturally open up, and it stimulates what's called the primary breathing mechanism, which is really the nervous system. And people feel a deep, deep relaxation. It's not just when you have the release, it's actually a relaxation that really kind of takes over your life,
mm.
in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's very physical. Sometimes I liken it to a sense of physical bliss.
I like that. And it takes about 10 minutes to do it?
It takes about 10 minutes, really, to do the release. Actually, it's even quicker than that, but you got to kind of fill up some space talking and stuff like that.
Right.
Seeing how the work proceeds. But it's very quick.
It's like Dr. Spock. You grab their shoulder and that's it.
Uh-huh.
This is great.
It is.
But this is really great. Are you familiar with something called the Atlas bone?
This is all related to, you know, putting the atlas back in place and getting the first cervical vertebrae adjusted so that stays locked in. And then the dura that actually is connected to the first, second, third, fourth cervical vertebrae, this is what, when I'm doing the cranial release, this is what opens. So it actually puts your head on straight.
Oh, I love that. Now, I like that. Now, you know, all of us need that. I mean, really, life coming at you the way it does, we all need that.
Right.
So let me ask you this. If you don't mind just describing for our listeners what your opinion of an atlas bone is, that would be great. That way that people can see the importance of doing this and the the importance of having a very healthy atlas bone.
Well, what happens is the first cervical vertebrae, the theory behind it is that most human beings, the cervical vertebrae, the first cervical vertebrae is out at birth.
Oh.
And there seems to be, you know, very consistent evidence that, you know, the birth experience, birth trauma is what causes this dislocation of the first cervical vertebrae.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is as we grow up, this is why, you know, so many people go to chiropractors and, you know, constantly getting adjusted, because once the cervical vertebrae is out, the rest of the body, the rest of the spine has to constantly keep adjusting to compensate for the, you know, that primary subluxation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put these things back into place and you get the cranium open, then what happens is people really kind of let go of their need to do chiropractic work. There's just a sense of well-being that comes in. These are the very physical sensations, but it's a physical sense of well-being.
Because what you're doing is you're opening up the energetic pathway so they're no longer blocked.
Right.
Correct?
Precisely.
Right.
And the body then begins to adjust itself and move into a better relationship.
So if we were to liken it to the 405 freeway here in Los Angeles, at 3 o'clock, it's all clogged up. It's a parking lot. So that's the general status of a person's cervical spine before you do this work. But then after this work, it's sort of more like 4 or 5 in the morning kind of 405 freeway where everything's just flying along.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And then combined with the emotional work, because the main work that I do is really the deep emotional release body work. And this has really come from, you know, from really 30 years of an intensive integrative study of the evolution of consciousness, how we, the stuff that's in denial that needs to come to the surface about really our past, our childhood, relationships improve, even if people are no longer with us physically on the physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
It allows for a release of issues that are being held in the subconscious mind. If they're being held in the subconscious mind, eventually they're going to show up as, you know, physical health.
Right.
They're going to show up in all sorts of relationships. And so to get these patterns clear, and the way I got to the work really was because of, you know, I was primarily a musician initially, and I was always looking for ways to break through my own blocks, my own insecurities.
What a nice surprise, yeah, to learn that. Go ahead.
And so I kept looking for ways to, you know, to get to a deeper level of myself. And that's kind of what led me into my spiritual work in my 20s. You know, I was really fascinated with the study of shamanism and meditation, yoga, qigong. I've spent a lot of time, you know, working with Chinese energetic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And putting all these things together, it's just interesting how it evolved because, you know, in a sense, what I was looking for initially was my own sense of well-being, my own sense of confidence, my own sense of freeing myself up from my past, my family, belief structures that I picked up as a child having to do with, you know, everything from family to society itself.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately trying to get free.
Absolutely. And I get that. And I believe that all great healers do go into the line of work that they're in because they do have a great desire to free themselves. And truly, I know for me, that I went through the things I went through. I know I chose my path before birth, and I'm honoring it because I am walking through the fire, have walked through the fire, and I know that unless I go through this and you know, learn my way myself, I can't lead anyone out of any place I haven't been to myself.
Right.
So it is a wonderful thing. I don't like to call it the wounded healer, but you get my meaning when I say that, right?
Well, that seems to be a concept that a lot of that concept works, but you know, it's interesting. At some point, we want to give up the concept.
I've wounded.
We're trying to heal ourselves, so at some point we really do have to give the concept up of the wounded healer.
Exactly. That's
so
why
it's time to talk of ourselves as the healed healer.
The healed healer. Actually, how about the empowered healer?
The empowered healer.
Is better. That's from forevermore, yeah. That's what I will refer to it as. So thank you for helping me co-create that.
We just evolved the whole science right now.
Right on. And there's, you know, you're talking about belief systems, and I have a way of referring to belief systems that is kind of fun. You know, we all know in life that when things don't make sense to us and we don't get the outcome we want, we miss our mark, and it just feels like, you know, it's like, why is this stuff happening to me? That's what I call BS. And you know what the standard term for BS is, right?
Right.
Right. So we're not talking about that kind. We're talking about belief system.
Right.
So when I'm coaching people, I just say, you know, that is BS. And they'll just look at me kind of with their eyebrow cocked going, what? So it's not that kind of BS. It's belief system BS. And belief system is what creates your reality, every single bit of it, all the time and all the time some more. So if you don't tweak your belief system, you're going to get the same results every time. So this cranial release work that you're telling us about is fascinating. And I love that it only takes a couple of minutes, because, you know, all healing does is just a moment of decision.
Right.
And that moment of release, it's really all the power of the world is inside of us. So once we get to a place where we're ready to release that, then, you know, to have the great facilitator that you are to do that and to assist us with that is a wonderful thing. So I want to thank you for hearing your calling and following your calling and acting on your calling and all the great healing work you're doing for everybody. And why don't you tell us where you just came from?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you tell us where you just came from today?
Well, I was actually in Bordeaux and Paris for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with a client that I had met in Los Angeles, and it's an American film actress who's actually doing her desire has been to, you know, to develop an international career. So she's finishing up a 4-month project in Bordeaux, France.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working with her, and we spent the last weekend in Paris, and it was very, you know, very engaging. You know, actually, I've never been on a film set for that long of a time, and so it was very interesting to, and it was all French, so that was made it even more interesting.
Right.
And we were hanging out, you know, we were doing a lot of work, and we were doing a lot of work around the secret, and the whole conversation around the secret, and we were in Paris, we were staying near the Concours, where the, you know, well, the, it's just, Paris is really just an amazing city. I haven't been there in like 30 years, and it's quite different. And it was very interesting, you know, kind of like using all this knowledge and using energy to really kind of consciously do magic,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of set up set up your energy and be very clear what it is you're trying to manifest and what you're trying to create, you know, on the planet. And, you know, because my feeling is that all the work that I do ultimately and, you know, in working with this, you know, conscious manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
To me, ultimately, what it really is about, because, you know, we all have our own personal dreams that we're trying to achieve, and, you know, coming, especially living in Los Angeles, it's a culture of people who are generally, you know, trying to express a great deal of creativity and trying to create a lifestyle that is based around creative expression.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I work with this, I guess what really comes up for me is that the ultimate creation would really be world peace.
Right.
You know, and to me, because, you know, on a personal level, you know, you can create wealth, you can create success, you can create all sorts of things. The truth is when you start having your dream manifest, your life only gets more complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more things you have to manage. And what I realized through all this work is that what I'm really trying to achieve is a really deep, consistent expression of inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
So that no matter how successful my life is, no matter how complex things are, that there's this consistent peace that's what's really driving the whole thing. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking, well, if you take that and you multiply it with, you know, times all the people on the planet, then what you're really talking about is creating a consciousness of peace on the planet.
Yes, a collective consciousness.
I think it's something that's definitely needed at this point, you know, even the conversation.
Yeah. And this conversation we're having on the airwaves, being that everything is energy and everything is frequency, I can't think of a better way to get that out there than a radio show that discusses just that. And BBSradio.com has some of the most outstanding radio programming out there just on this very topic. There's so many styles and so many different wonderful, excellent healers and radio hosts on this. I hope you get a chance to take a look at this.
Yeah, I did actually. I looked at it before we
called. If you were to go into the archives, you would get lost for I don't know how long just listening to this incredible programming. So I feel really blessed that I have an opportunity to make a difference in Hollywood by igniting consciousness using a radio show and using Hollywood, because I don't know if you know this, being that you and I just met, but I'm a progressive talent manager with a focus on consciousness, and I know you have a very beautiful child named Ariel, right?
Ariel, she's sitting right here, yes.
Hi, Ariel. And that you would like for her to possibly get into acting, and I know that coming from parents like she has, that she would already be way ahead of the game, consciously speaking, to make her mark in Hollywood and make a difference in the way that she has in her heart to do. So what I do as a progressive talent manager with a focus on consciousness, and I think I might be the only one out there, but I know I won't be the last if I have anything to say about it, is to choose the projects mindfully and consciously and choose my clients consciously and to coach them along the way. And every client I had watch The Secret over the holidays, their bookings, auditions, and callbacks have tripled.
Interesting.
And that happened within 2 months of watching The Secret. And it's just that quick. And you were mentioning The Secret, which I do appreciate. Because if you go to my management website, you'll see The Secret banner right there on the front page, because we use the concepts of The Secret. We co-create together, and
right.
We're co-creating this world together. We're co-creating this show together right now. Everything is co-creation, and not to know that we have this power within us, I think, is the biggest sin, if there is a sin of all, is not to use it. And I believe for The Secret, if I might just emote a bit here about that, is that a lot of people, I think we're all born knowing everything there is to know, but we forgot that we know it. And I think what The Secret does for people who, the uninitiated people especially, they can have an ache in their back or not feel well or be depressed or something, and then they come across The Secret, which actually was no accident, as we know, and they watch The Secret, and suddenly their pains and their aches go away, and they're not depressed anymore. Well, I believe that that happens because there's universal truths in that film. I believe it was completely channeled by Rhonda Byrne, and I believe that the universal truths in that film reach the innate knowing in every person who watches it, and nobody can walk away from seeing that film without feeling energized and have more vitality, because it has spoken to that innate knowing that they had when they were born that they forgot that they knew. So that's just my opinion, and the people who are criticizing The Secret, because everything, you know, to have balance, you've got to have your critics as well. And I like that they're criticizing it, because it's just causing more people to want to see what all the hoopla is about.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even know that people were criticizing
it. Oh, you know why? They're saying, well, it's dangerous to say that you can manifest everything you want, because then people will just think that they can just sit and think about something and have it. Well, no. What they're not getting is that once you define what you want and become intentional about it, create your rockets of desire and then let them go, you need to also take, for every 10 intentions you write down and every 10 attractions you make for yourself every day, you need to take 10 steps toward it also physically.
Definitely.
And you cannot do anything or have anything or be anything without also taking action. So what the critics are saying is that the Secret is saying you can do all this without taking action, which, in my opinion, I don't see it that way. I never saw it that way. I see it as saying use your common sense and use your power. And the power is inside of you. And this movie puts you back in the driver's seat of your life, much like you do with your work.
Right.
And that's why I believe is a wonderful synergy. And in speaking with you, I'm seeing that you might be a very good candidate for the sequel of The Secret for them to interview.
Interesting. Well, you know what's interesting, this whole conversation about Hollywood, because for years, you know, I mean, I've been really working in and out of Los Angeles for a number of years. And at this point, you know, there are a number of people that I work with, because I also have, you know, clients I see in New York and so forth. But I attract a lot of actors, a lot of writers, a lot of people who are creative, because what I'm really skilled at doing is getting people to define very clearly what their goal is creatively, and to find out, because most people, they have these blocks that are really put in place in childhood. And it has to do with I'm not enough, I can't have what I want. And I'm not enough becomes, you know, maybe I'm not talented enough. And these are subconscious blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I realize is the power, the potency of Los Angeles. One, there's so many people that are working in consciousness in Los Angeles, and a lot of these people are in every area of the entertainment industry, from the people who are actually the creative people to people who are, you know, basically the energetic, the technical people, and even the business people behind the process. And to me, you know, what I see, and this is kind of a vision that I hold for Los Angeles, is that because of the power of communication, especially through film and music, that as people evolve in consciousness and they affect the frequency of entertainment that's coming out, this, for me, creates the greatest possibility of transformation on the planet, far more than the people who are making policies and political decisions and economic decisions, because that's a very slow process. But entertainment is like one movie or, say, one artist comes out and they are carrying that consciousness, that it affects the world in a unified way very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Frequency.
And so what you're doing is profound, because, you know, you're gearing it towards towards people in Los Angeles who are creatively connected and are striving towards creative expression. And I believe we can change the planet very quickly.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it. There's a momentum that cannot be stopped in this phone call, in this radio show, and this topic that we're discussing is definite proof of that. And it's everywhere. It's just getting into people's DNA. You know, it's just happening by osmosis. And for the uninitiated, you know, their awakening is happening whether they like it or not, because the universe brings us all kinds of ways for us to wake up. And if we ignore those things, it's just going to cause a lot of suffering. And if anybody is feeling suffering right now and feeling out of sorts and out of alignment, it's only because you've stopped the flow of your innate good, which is your birthright, which is your true nature. And your true nature, in my opinion, is love, joy, happiness, freedom, abundance, self-acceptance, harmony, and prosperity. And that is your true nature. And anything that is not that is out of alignment.
Absolutely right. You know, it's also very interesting, because as you're talking, I actually got goosebumps, which is always a good indication that something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about being in Paris over the last weekend, and I was on the Concorde, where, you know, the Arc de Triomphe and the Eiffel Tower, and that the Egyptian obelisk from Luxor is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, you know, my connection with this person who brought me over there, all that was really a result of me seeing The Secret back in December.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw The Secret, and I looked at my life, and I said, okay, you know, I know all this stuff because it's really, you know, it's the foundation of metaphysics. But now that the conversation is in the world, you can have a conversation with other people, not just yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that, you know, a lot of things move. So anyhow, you know, in meeting my friend, and, you know, and then she asked me to come over to Paris with her to help her finish up this project, whatnot. And I'm realizing all this was a manifestation of, you know, one step after another, once I not read The Secret, but saw The Secret. And at one point, it's very interesting, because then I started thinking about, you know, like the Da Vinci Code. There was one point on Sunday morning where I was standing. I actually went to this place, and it was very quiet. Nobody was up yet. So I was standing, and I found this one spot where I was perfectly aligned with the Arc de Triomphe. And the obelisk Luxor was standing in back of me, and everything. And I'm standing in one point, and I know from the Da Vinci Code that Paris is a very interesting city, because it really is aligned. They built it and aligning it on all these coordinates. And I found this one spot, and I was standing on this one spot that was the center. It was almost like the center of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stood there, and I just started channeling in and bringing these energies in, and bringing the energy of intention in, and feeling like there's something about Paris. It's very alive energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just standing there, and I realized all this is a result of, you know, really literally watching The Secret in December, making some necessary changes in my life, and then I just started, you know, meeting different people. So it's amazing how it all happens. You never know in the next moment of your life, it can all change in one moment by somebody walking through the door, meeting the person who's going to open up all sorts of, you know, avenues, or having a creative idea that comes through that's going to transform the planet. And to me, this gives me, this is a great, it's, you know, it's very inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
I realize we're living in such a very powerful time, you know, and looking at it objectively without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a time of very, very powerful transformation.
Well, you know, Barbara, was your wife was just looking around on the Internet from one site to another site, and Amanda Robinson, I know you've done some work with
the
LA Institute of Spiritual Entertainment, Los Angeles, and I was a keynote speaker there one time, and I think Barbara must have found my website on her links that she has on her website ISELA.org. And found me that way, and it's such a small world. It is getting smaller all the time. The more people's consciousnesses are ignited, it's almost like we have a telepathic wavelength to one another, and there's a gathering that just makes me giggle like you can't believe every time it happens. And that's really what's natural. I have a Katieism that I like to use, and that is that
Katieism. I like that.
Yeah, it's that when that synchronicity is divinity showing off.
Wow.
And it is.
Yeah, you're right
about it. And every time the synchronicity comes, I just giggle, because it's, you know, it's like the angels or the universe having fun with me and just showing me, you know, who I really am. And, you know, we all go through our hard times. It's like one of my clients, Stevie, and I both were on this parallel of feeling sad all of a sudden, just in a funk last night, came over us. We don't know why. And we discussed that earlier today. And we all go through that. And it's so good to have people in our lives when that happens that can remind us of who we really are, just in a conversation, just in a look, a touch, or a phone call, an email, something to put us back up on track. Because, you know, I mean, the conditioning that we get from the world, I mean, it's a largely insane world. And if you don't believe that, look in a history book. You know, look in a history book. And there's a lot to overcome, and there's a lot to transform. And I'm excited by that, because I have my work cut out for me. And I don't look at everything and go, oh, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know where to start. I look at everything and I go, wow, look what I get to do. Look what I get to be a part of. Oh, my gosh, this is awesome. And it's great that you just got back from Paris and you got to spend some time there. And thank you for sharing what that felt like in that energetic spot you were standing, because while you were telling me that, all of our listeners got a very strong hit of the channeling of what you were doing, because I felt it. It was tangible. So
well,
thank you for giving us that.
Yeah,
you know,
you.
It saved us a plane ticket. You know, I mean, it was immediate. It was wonderful. Without digressing too much, my business partner and I are doing something called quantum hypnotherapy that I told your wife about, and it's very similar to what you're doing. And my business partner, Alex, lived in Paris for 10 years, and it is a very magical city. So in hearing him talk about Paris, I almost feel like I've been there, but I haven't been there yet physically. And I really, really look forward to going. So I'm going to be doing that very thing that you said you did on Sunday morning, and just experience that for myself as well.
Wow.
But we're doing, you know, anybody who's doing this kind of work that brings a person back to their true nature, to their divinity, is so on the right track and just so appreciated. And, you know, it's definitely time and definitely need for it. And how wonderful that it is that it's 2007 and we get to do these things and have these things and be these things and not get burned at the stake for it.
At least not now.
At least not right this minute.
At least not right this minute. We're still we're holding the space that, I mean, I think that's really true, because we do live in such a powerful time. But, you know, we are demonstrating that, you know, there's an immense amount of freedom that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, in the midst of it all, we're very free to express our highest vision of life and our highest vision of ourselves. You know, and it's interesting, because, you know, people so will ask me about The Secret. And I think a lot of the criticism that springs up from The Secret, in addition to what you expressed before, also has to do with that The Secret's easy to apply when things are going good. it's difficult when you're kind of like in a down space to remember, you know, how to do that work and how to keep that work, because the mind has such a tendency to sink into kind of like a negative entropy and kind of sink into self-doubt and depression and anxiety.
Well, muscles have memory. Yeah, muscles have memory. It's like that. It's like your muscles have memory, and so does your memory have memory.
Right.
So you go straight back to that place until you get it strong enough through lots and lots of effort and intentional application to keep yourself thinking mostly that way. And I get that you have trained yourself quite proficiently, but I know that there are still times where, you know, that thoughts creep in, and it does for all of us. But it's not that it happens that matters. It's what you do about it that matters.
Precisely.
And if you don't stalk your thoughts will stalk you.
Right.
That's a Katie too.
And so that's, you know, to me, that's where the practice, you know, that's where the practice and application comes in, because, you know, at some point, you know, one has to have a technology in which to override the energy that seems to take us over sometimes. You know, people still have a tendency, you know, a lot of clients I still see, you know, sometimes they still have a tendency to, you know, to get depressed and to have, you know, like a strong self-doubt that really paralyzes them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell people, this is the work, the real spiritual practice really is the practice of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you can't wait for happiness to happen. It doesn't just show up. You actually have to manage your thoughts and work with your emotional energy and work with your physiology to keep the energy in a place where in the moment, from moment to moment, you're really expressing contentment, a sense of happiness, like what you said before, the joy, the laughter, the humor, the creative expression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I also believe it's very, very important to have a very big dream behind your life. And at the same time, you have to be non-attached.
Yes.
So that you can be in the present moment, that you're not constantly goal-driven. You're not, because if you're goal-driven, you're not really present. You're still in the future.
Well, that's like the best thing for an actor to hear, because they have to be spontaneous without being attached to any kind of forceful way of doing their work, right? It has to be spontaneous and from spirit and from source. And I believe that when actors are acting and they're just really, really into what they're doing, they're channeling.
Yep.
And I have a call coming in. That's so annoying. I'm not going to take it, of course. Rude. So what I wanted to ask you, Jim, before I forget, is
okay.
Do you find for yourself that when you're feeling a particular emotion, and like you were just describing where people get paralyzed with self-doubt, etc., when you're feeling a particular emotion, I know for me, like when I was in a funk last night, I knew that because I recognized I was in a funk. It didn't, it wasn't in my blind spot. I was going, whoa, I'm really in a funk. That's a trip. Let me see what this is. And I knew that in that funk I was in, that I was sending out a funk frequency, and that I was going to get an exact vibrational match back to my funk frequency. And I got lots more funk frequency from feeling that funk. So if that's not too confusing for everybody, but when I noticed that I was sending out that frequency of funkiness, and not the good kind where, you know, you're feeling really good, I knew that I was attracting an exact vibrational match back to myself, which was feeding the negative vibration that I was putting out in the first place, if that makes sense. So what I did was I started little by little, baby step, saying, I feel good. I feel good. I feel good. I feel good. And I kept saying it until I believed it more and more. And then eventually, as I was saying, I feel good, I took out one of the O's of the word good until I was saying, I feel God. And when I got to the place where I was feeling God, there was no more funk.
Interesting.
And it was something that I had to know to do. And that didn't come overnight. That came over a lot of years and a lot of trial and error and a lot of missing my mark. And I had to learn that by, you know, because I am responsible for what is going on in my life and how I feel. Nobody else is. And my emotions, for me, are a signal that I have some thinking in my head, thinking going on in my head that needs to be looked at and transmuted. So that's when I'm feeling a negative emotion. I know that that's a signal saying, what are you thinking about, Katie? Check it.
Right.
And so the emotions are a wonderful signal to what's going on in our mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, because we live in a society where we really don't up until recently, and it's still basically people who are involved kind of in alternative work. We really didn't even talk about the emotions. You know, we would talk about them, but there wasn't really much, like, you know, actually when I grew up, I was led to believe that the emotions were irrational.
Mm-hmm.
That was the irrational part of us. And the work that I do, what I find, because there's such a consistency to emotional energy, but I find that the emotions are very logical. You know, something happens, it's very logical to be angry. What's irrational is behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe you may be in a situation where it's very logical for you to feel angry, but it's not necessarily rational to throw a TV through a window.
No.
See, that's like the behavior. And this is where I think people get confused, because they want to deny the emotional energy. They want to deny their feelings, and once you do that, you're in denial. You've either got to be in denial, you have to either go into suppression, or you have to numb out.
Yeah.
And these are the three ways that we remove ourselves from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it long enough and you do it chronically enough, it becomes a health problem, or if it shows up as a relationship dysfunction, you know, and so forth. And so it is true that what I learned for myself, and the other thing I feel is this, especially spiritually, that the real juice, the real energy that drives one's spiritual practice, for me has to be emotion. I have to feel God. I can't think about God. I can't think about
mm-hmm.
spirit. I can't think about creativity. I have to be in the actual visceral experience of it. And that's
mm-hmm.
where the real connectedness is.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is when a lot of times there's emotions are there, like you said, like a funk, or say something, there's sadness coming up,
mm-hmm.
and we want to push those feelings away.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that the truth is what we really want to do is invite those feelings in
mm-hmm.
and allow ourselves to really feel them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I catch myself in a situation like you were last night, where usually because it's hard for me to just go, okay, I feel good. What I do is I feel how bad I feel, and I really kind of instruct my clients, people that I work with. Feel the feeling you're feeling. Really go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And from that place, especially if it's a feeling that's overwhelming and it's not, you know, it's not joy, but it's more of the negative frequency.
Mm-hmm.
From that place of feeling what I'm feeling, I then start asking for help, for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple. It's just show me the way. So people say, you know, sometimes I'll talk about prayer. I'll say prayer is very important. I'll go, well, you know, how do you pray? And I go, well, there's really basically two prayers. If I'm in the negative frequency emotionally, I stay and I allow myself to be absorbed and feel that feeling. I don't want to run away from it. I don't want to deny. I want to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that place, I ask for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People will say, well, who are you asking? Well, I have to assess sometimes if they have a relationship with, if I use the word, I'll say, what's your relationship with God? They'll go, well, you know, I don't believe in God, or I don't have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mental, they're having a hard time with the mental concept. So then, and they'll say, well, who am I asking? I say, well, you're asking your own inner self, your own higher self, or that part of you that knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we can all relate to that. And then the other aspect is when you're feeling really good, all of a sudden life is very powerful and you're feeling good, and these really kind of powerful, good emotions are happening. What I find is that to keep them in the body, because if I start feeling so much joy, at some point it kind of like spills over and I can't contain the energy.
Mm-hmm.
What I do then is I stay kind of in a consistent prayer of giving thanks and just expressing love. And it's like I keep thinking, like, I love you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, to space, to the energy that I'm feeling. And what that does is it attracts more of like frequency in.
Right, and which is why I shifted my funk into something that I finally felt good. So I knew, because I'm responsible for the frequency I'm putting out.
Right.
And if I'm not part of the solution, I'm part of the pollution. And I believe that negative energy is pollution. And I want to keep my side of things clean as much as I can. So when I'm feeling a negative emotion, like I said, it was like, okay, wow, I'm in a funk. This is interesting. What can I do with this? So I did explore it. I did go into it. And I'm finding that when an uncomfortable feeling comes up for me, I challenge it, and I look it right in the face, and I say, yes, what is it that you would like? What do you want? How can I help you? And I try to understand it, and when I understand it, then I can transmute it and let it go. But
yeah, like
it didn't happen overnight. It takes training to do that.
Right.
And in what you do, Jim, are you So it sounds like you do train your clients to sustain what you're working on them with for, you know, after the session's over, that you do give them some training on how to maintain themselves, right?
Well, yeah, definitely. I encourage them to actually look at developing a technology that really works for them, that keeps them in a consistent state of well-being, a consistent state of confidence. And it's not like an artificial. It's very real. It's based on the truth that in this present moment, everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mind creates all these irrational fears, like it's almost like that we're already, you know, the sky's falling.
Mm-hmm.
And what we really have to do is come back to this place. And I think it's lost in childhood because
sure it is.
Society that says, you know, you have to get good grades, you have to find a career. You know, if you don't, life is going to be really hard. And so we grow up with a lot of fear about, you know, performance and reality, and it keeps us from being present. It keeps us
sorry to interrupt you. It's false evidence appearing real. And I've taken that acronym one step further, and now for me, fear, F-E-A-R, is feeling excited and ready. And
that's good.
And it really works. When you say that, when you see it as an acronym like that, you kind of have to laugh at yourself a little bit for being scared, because false evidence appearing real is what you've done is you've gone into the future and you've awfulized it before you've even gotten there. And you're definitely not present when you're doing that. And the key is to catch yourself when you're doing it, because it happens to all of us. We're spiritual beings trying to learn to be more human. And, you know, we have to be more human to get along in the world as the world is. And to remember that we're spiritual beings first who are just trying to learn to be more human, we can give ourselves a break and understand that we're in our process, not rush it, and be more patient with ourselves. And, you know, excuse me, I think patience is a big portion of what causes dis-ease. Impatience is what causes dis-ease, because we're in such a hurry to get somewhere when there's really nowhere to get.
There's nowhere to get to.
Yeah, there's just comfort in your own skin is really where you want to get, and then from that everything else comes. So I'm very excited to. I know Barbara was mentioning that you and she and my partner Alex and I would be exchanging sessions. We'll be giving you and Barbara quantum hypnotherapy and getting a session of emotional release from you.
Yeah, she did. That's great. She did mention that.
Yeah. I'm so excited, and so is my partner. He's just real excited about that. So, and also I have permission to offer the listeners and all of the Guardian Angel Management clients a discount on your services if they call you and say that they heard about it on Spiritual Hollywood. How is that for you?
That sounds great.
Great. And the discount that she offered was $50 off the session.
Sounds great.
So everybody, please make good use of that. Do yourself a favor. Give yourself a treat. And as I'm doing my spring cleaning and my living space, I know that a good spring cleaning in my inner space wouldn't be a bad idea, too. So, you know, even if your life is going along wonderful and smooth, it doesn't hurt to do some tune-ups. That's what you do for your car. You know, oftentimes, Jim, we take better care of our car than we do ourselves.
Yep.
You know, what is this? You go get your oil changed regularly like clockwork, but you don't go get a checkup or you know, shift your eating habits a bit, or at least become more conscious about them and get exercise and things like that. I mean, preventative measures would help keep people from getting sick probably 100% more than just waiting till you get sick to go to the doctor and get medicine, because holistic ways of keeping yourself well all starts in the mind. It's what you think about, you bring about. And if you're thinking healthy, conscious thoughts and working towards consciousness in general, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, then you're going to keep yourself as tuned up as you possibly can. So that's, you know, you don't even have to go anywhere to start treating yourself better than you treat your car. You can just start by shifting your belief system.
That's a major, major thing right there. I mean, I keep finding the more I keep working with, you know, changing belief systems, and every time I think I've, you know, I get there or I'm there, then I realize that's another belief system and I got to change that also.
You're really good at what you do, because you're always in the inquiry, always exploring a better way. And I really get that you are looking for your own liberation, and through that you're able to heal others.
So that's what it is. I feel very, very blessed that that
blessing.
When I started out, I had no idea. I mean, I really basically was selfish. I was looking for my own liberation and my own, my own glory in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing just led to another, and then in a sense, there was a number of years I never even considered myself to be a healer.
Mm-hmm.
And and as that energy evolved and where it's at now, I just feel very, very grateful that, that somehow I listened to my guidance. That's really what it was. When I think about it now, I feel grateful that I had the wherewithal to listen to my guidance and to follow kind of the yellow brick road and see where it led me in life. And it really has led to a great deal of personal, interpersonal freedom and full self-expression creatively. I feel very blessed in my life, and it's a great time to be alive. It's a very great time to be conscious and to be connected to other people who are conscious, because there is so much work that needs to be done.
Yep, and the only way to have it is to give it away.
Truly.
Yep, and you were talking about prayer a while ago, and one thing I tell all my clients is, when you pray, that's you talking to God or your higher self or your creator or source. That's you talking to God. And
right.
When you listen to your guidance and your intuition, that's God talking to you. So
that's true. I guess it is.
Yeah, and it is. And I was wondering, I heard a little hint of some knowledge that you might have about Ho'oponopono. Have you heard of that before?
I've heard about it, but I don't know what I said that made you think of that.
Because you said, you say I love you and thank you, and that's what Ho'oponopono is. It's where you say I'm sorry to the divine, please forgive me, divine.
Right.
I love you, divine. Thank you, divine. And when you're doing that, you're working on yourself, you're cleaning yourself, you're clearing yourself so that whatever situation you're about to go into is not affected by any of your personal stuff. You just bring pure source, pure divinity to your situation. And through that, all others can be healed. And what Dr. Len did was he worked at an institute for the criminally insane, where people were locked up, chained up, drugged up, totally misfits of society, one would think, when he got there. And he didn't treat one person. He didn't go to one board meeting. He did not make himself available in any of the standard typical ways that the psychiatrists were working in that institute. He simply went there and did Ho'oponopono, worked on himself, and eventually every single patient was released and healthy.
Wow.
And he didn't do a thing to them except work on himself, which was...
Now, that's interesting.
And that's what he did. He said, I'm sorry, divine. Please forgive me, divine. I love you, divine. Thank you, divine. And that's what he did constantly, constantly, constantly. And I had him on my radio show. It's in my archives if you want to listen to it. Very interesting man, wonderful man. And every time you say, I love you, you are being the God that you are. And don't you notice when you say those three words, there's a harmony... a harmonic vibration that takes place in you that is pure bliss?
Well, it's very interesting, because I've really demonstrated this past week when I was in France working with my friend Karina on this film set, because there's just definitely different consciousness happening there. And what I was doing was constantly doing these corrections on all the people that were there, just sending positive energy to the midline of their body and doing these energetic corrections, and I noticed how the collective energy started shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I had the great pleasure and experience of meeting Paramahansa Nishidananda, who was in town. And I've never really been around a lot of gurus before, but this was a very, some friends of mine took me there, and it was a very profound experience. And he basically, when I did darshan with him,
Darshan. Go ahead.
He gave me permission. He says, you have permission to go out and express your enlightenment now. And I thought that was a very interesting concept, because we're all looking, we're waiting. Okay, when's enlightenment coming? When's enlightenment coming?
Mm-hmm.
And what he was really basically saying was, it's already here. All you need to do is express it.
Totally. And you know that my idea of courage is full self-expression in the face of no agreement. To me, that's what courage is.
Ah, interesting. No agreement. That's excellent.
In the face of agreement.
So when I was doing this work, I realized that's all we have to do. What you were just saying about doing the self-corrections and just working on yourself. And I realized that when I'm in a high frequency state of being, and I'm around other people, whether I know them or not. I could be at an airport, I could be anywhere. When I'm in that empowered state of awakened consciousness, I know, because I can feel it, that it's affecting the entire energy field that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, courage, as I demonstrate the courage to, on a you know, continuing basis, to stay in that space,
mm-hmm.
and then I realize that this is really another way that we can heal the planet instantaneously.
You know what I just got in what you were saying? I don't even know if it's related, but here's what I got, and I
okay.
want to share it. Full self-expression in the face of no agreement would be a wonderful way to allow your emotions to be, is let them fully express themselves in the face of your not agreeing with them, but let them express themselves in a rational way.
Right.
And, wow.
Maybe every once in a while a little irrational is good.
Well, it's okay. As long as nobody gets hurt.
That's where art comes from.
Yes. But as long as nobody gets hurt is what my point is.
Right.
Because a lot of people just take it to the, you know, they will throw a TV set out the window and not care who's walking down below.
Yeah, well,
so,
that's not good.
No, not good. But to allow full self-expression, your emotions to be fully self-expressed, and examine them and see what they are there to do, because every single thing in your life is there to serve you. Everything. There is no throwaway, in my opinion.
It's interesting, and, you know, bringing the conversation back to, you know, the creative energy and the creative expression, that, you know, because I was having this conversation in France last week with some people, that, you know, because the other thing we don't talk about is the, you know, we do carry the shadow, you know, we do carry this element within our personality.
Yes.
That it's difficult. Most people want to reject the shadow. They want to reject their anger, their hatred, their,
mm-hmm.
their those kind of those elemental energies that are in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as artists, anybody who's an artist knows that to be an artist and to come into full expression, and I think this is really what art is about, especially theatrical kind of art, is that what you're doing is you're actually dancing with your shadow and learning how to dance with it gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is something that, you know, because we can't deny it, you know, and then you get kind of like these evangelical kind of religions that want to say that, you know, there's only, you have to be this way. The artist says, no, we have to explore the shadow a little bit.
Because everything is balance.
This creates the movement in life.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, people are afraid of that. And I think that, you know, it's powerful because you don't want to reject, you know, those elements of yourself that are there, the anger and the rage, the dissatisfaction. Sometimes it can even come up as hatred and you know, and not feel guilty about it, you know, because then you're just adding on another negative frequency.
Well, by rejecting any part of the self, you are not being your true nature, period.
Right.
And when you're not being your true nature, that's when you're in a funk. And that's why I knew last night when I was in a funk, I wasn't being my true nature. Because I just had an incident with a client, and I felt so out of harmony, and I thought, I've got to do the right thing that is within the alignment of my true nature, and I did.
That happened to you last night. It happened to me, too.
Really?
It must have been something astrological.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, I chose to respect myself, and that was the answer, and as soon as I did that, I felt immediately better. That's when I said, I feel God. I took out one of the O's of good, and that was it. I felt I was back. I was restored. But, you know, there's a residue I have to shake off. And, you know, when we're grieving, and any time I have to let somebody go, I grieve a bit about it because,
right.
you know, it's a process, and it is part of the human condition. If you deny grief, even, you're going to make yourself sick. And I like to stay healthy. I like to keep my channels open because I am a healer also, and I'm not able to heal if I'm going to have gunk all in me. So I must stay open. I must do the spiritual Drano thing all the time and keep myself available. And I would like right now at this time, Jim, to thank you so profoundly for making yourself available for us this evening. I know you just got off the plane from France, and you're there with your family, and you're having a great time. And I know you're going to have the best night's sleep ever. and I'm just so excited to learn more about what you do and to share our healing modalities and see if we can co-create something.
I am too, Kate. This is great. I'm really glad. This is a great way to meet.
Yes, it is. And your wife is just a doll. I can't wait to meet Barbara and Ariel. Do you have other children?
No, Ariel's my only child.
Yeah, well, she's just a doll, too. She answered the phone. But I'm going to just say thank you once again and give everyone your website once more. It's www.emotionalrelease.com. Remember that you'll get a $50 discount on your session with Jim, so please tell him that you heard about it on Spiritual Hollywood. I'm Kate Romero, your host. Again, I want to thank Don Newsom at BBS Radio, and everybody, please sign up and listen to those archives. They're absolutely incredible. There are answers in those archives that you've been wanting your entire life. Just sign on and listen, and you'll get them. And my website is www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces. So give me a shout, say hello, give me some feedback, tell me if you like the show, who you'd like to see on the show, and what you thought of Jim Hyman this evening for emotional release. And thank you again, Jim. Thank you, everyone. Be good to yourselves. And remember to start with yourself, because if you don't go in within, you're going to go without, and that's the truth. So thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you, Jim.
Bye-bye.